to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. On today's show, I'm going to talk you out of paying all cash for a property. You heard me correctly. I'm going to talk you out of paying all cash for a property. And you're thinking, all right, let's go there. Convince me. Convince me that I shouldn't pay all cash. As a matter of fact, when I pay all cash, I don't have to pay any loan origination costs. I don't have to worry about having a mortgage. I don't have to worry about paying interest on that mortgage, which will erode my returns. I will have nobody telling me what to do in that property other than me, because I will have paid all cash. And my cash flow will be so much more superior to the cash flow of someone who leverages the property. All right, I guess we got a lot to unpack there, right? We definitely have a lot to unpack, because I'm pretty convinced that there are those of you out there that think cash is king, cash is the way to go. If for some reason you can't rent the property for a month, you'll be okay because you don't have to worry about making that mortgage payment. I mean, you've already got the insurance and taxes all taken care of, right? So, yeah, everything should be good. All right. Well, there's a problem with that right there. First of all, you should never, ever, ever allow your properties to go vacant for a month. No, you should not do that, because the more they sit empty, the less money you make. So you should always have a strategy in place that's going to get you your next resident when your current resident makes an informed decision that they're going to move out and go somewhere else. Yeah, you need to know how that works. But that's not what we're talking about today. We're talking about the concept of paying all cash. So let me give you a basic scenario. This is just a basic scenario. I'm using numbers that are realistic in today's markets. And we're going to talk about buying one property all cash. We're going to say this property is worth $150,000. And for simplicity's sake, I'm just going to say you're going to pay full retail pricing. I'm not even going to say that you're going to go and do things the Lifestyles Unlimited way, put as little money out of pocket as possible, because that would require you getting a loan. Yeah, but you're doing all cash. So, I mean, technically you could do it all cash, but it just kind of makes the argument a little bit more difficult. So we're just going to, for giggles and grins sake, we're going to say that every property we buy in the examples I'm going to give you today are retail pricing. And we're going to say that that retail pricing on these properties, $150,000. $150,000 house, 3-bedroom, 2-bath, great rental property, commands $1,300 a month rent. Let's say your taxes on this property are $3,000 per year. Let's say your insurance is $600 per year. So your actual costs are not terrible. Your actual costs are not terrible. So let's talk about what happens with the monthly rent and how that translates into cash flow for you. So if your rent is $1,300 on this property, you're going to get an annual income stream of $15,600. Now, you don't get to spend all that money on whatever you want, because you have liabilities associated with that income. Now, we already said you're paying all cash, so there will be no mortgage on this property. So whatever you would have paid for a mortgage, it didn't exist because you paid all cash. The taxes work out to be $250 per month based on a $3,000 tax rate. And the insurance, it works out to be $600 per year based on a $50 a month rate. Your costs on this property are only about $300. Yeah. I mean, if you make the insurance and taxes payments on a monthly basis, or you impound them, whatever you do, you set them aside so that when it's time to pay that bill, you pay that bill, you have the money, you're looking at a property producing cash flow for you of $1,000 per month. That's $1,000 that you can use for anything that you want. Now, the property will depreciate over time. You are authorized, as a matter of fact, you're pretty much required by the IRS to take depreciation write-offs on your property. And don't be afraid of those. They're actually a very good thing. What the IRS says is that the value of property, at least the improvements, has a tendency to wear out. And as a result of the fact that they wear out, they become less valuable over time. But ironically, don't we know that real estate has a tendency to just go up in value and price? Yeah, it's kind of neat how it works. But based on straight line depreciation, meaning you take whatever that property is worth, you subtract the land value from that property, you're going to get a depreciation number. Now, I'm going to get all crazy here, and I'm not even going to take the land value out. I'm just going to say that we're just going to depreciate the whole thing. I know I shouldn't do that because it's not right, but it just makes the math simple. So what it does for me is it shows me that I'm going to take a $455 depreciation write-off on that property, which works out to be $54.55 annualized. Now, the tax liability that you're going to have is on the remaining $545. So you take that $1,000 of cash flow, you take that $455 depreciation write-off, and then your tax liability is $545. So annualized, your tax liability is going to be $6,545, meaning you're going to pay taxes on an income stream of $6,545, whatever your ordinary tax rate is. Now, because you're a real estate investor, you're not going to pay the 15.5% Social Security and Medicare taxes that a flipper would pay. So on the surface, still not too bad. When we come back from the break, I'm going to tell you what's actually better.
I don't know which one bums you out more, the little wheel, you get in the little wheel and run, or the cubicle. Go to your prison cubicle. Think about being in prison every day. What do? You get up every day and stand in your cubicle. Maybe sit in your cubicle. What do you do when you go to work every day? Go to the cubicle. Whew. I couldn't put up with it when I was there. I had to get out.
Ready to get out too? Learn how at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
You can't be financially free if you're psychologically imprisoned by disabling belief systems.
Are you ready to break free from your disabling belief systems about money, real estate, retirement, and financial freedom? Then join us for Lifestyles Unlimited's live online free workshop. Learn the belief system that thousands of people like you have used to break free from corporate America and create the lives they have always wanted. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedFreeWorkshop.com.
We're back with the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. We're here to answer your questions and help you become financially free.
Welcome back to the show. All right, I went in, I fixed my spreadsheet. I fixed my spreadsheet because I can't, in clear conscience, sit here and tell you, even if I'm just giving you an example of depreciation, that you can write the entire value of the property off as depreciation, because you cannot. You cannot. You have to back out the value of the underlying land, because when it comes to depreciation, the IRS says land doesn't depreciate, only the improvements that you make upon that land. So like all the infrastructure, all the structures, all the utilities, everything you bring onto that property to make it improved, all of those things you can depreciate. You just cannot depreciate the land. So actually, I'm gonna go back. I'm gonna tell you my numbers were a little bit wrong, and I'm gonna give you better numbers because I think that's the way we should do business. The only thing that changes is the depreciation write-off. See, once I back out 15% of the overall cost, in other words, if you're paying full retail for the property of $150,000, and 15% of that is the land value, you've got to take that 15% out, or $22,500. So the depreciation number goes from 455, it actually drops down to 386. I mean, it's not a huge drop, but it's reasonable. So your depreciation write-off that you get to take on that property is now $4,636, meaning your tax liability is actually going to be a little bit higher. Your tax liability will be $7,364. So whatever you pay in ordinary tax rates, if you're in the 5% range, you'll pay 5% tax. If you're in the 20% range, you'll pay 20% tax. That's just the way it is. Now, your cash-on-cash return. This is very important for us to understand, because this is one of the ways we evaluate whether or not a deal is doing for us what we intend for it to do. And in this particular scenario, the cash-on-cash return is 8%. And how I got to that number is I took the annual cash flow of $12,000, and I divided it by the acquisition cost, which we said was $150,000, because we're buying retail. So that gives you an 8% return on your money. And your return on capital gain, well, it's minimal. It's minimal because we're paying retail. There really is no capital gain at this point. But if we hold the property for 1 year and we use a very conservative growth number of 3.5% increase in value on this property, we can anticipate the property going up in value $5,250. Meaning, at the end of 1 year of ownership, that property should be valued at about $155,250. That works out to be about a 5% increase in value, right? I mean, you're getting about 5% in addition. Actually, you're getting 3.5% in addition to the 150%. Yeah, so that's kind of how a pay cash for one property deal would pan out for you. Now, let's say you decide to buy 5 properties. Let's say you hook up with a qualified real estate lender that understands that you're investing. They also understand that you only need to build a loan package once, that initial loan package can be used for all subsequent properties. And after you qualify in the first one, you'll be able to qualify on the subsequent properties, because it's kind of a wash, rinse, repeat thing. That actually is something that most people don't know. Most people think that they have to generate a brand new loan application every time they buy an investment property. And that's just not true. If you're looking to buy multiple properties in succession, you can do one-stop shopping, do an initial loan application, but you got to be working with the right lenders that understand what we do. And in that case, let's say you decide to buy 5 houses. Let's say instead of taking that $150,000 and dropping it into one property and avoiding the cost of a mortgage and having to deal with the mortgage and the expenses that mortgage puts on that property, you're actually going to go out and get not one, but you're going to get 5 mortgages. And that statement right there might have made you feel a little uncomfortable. And that's okay. You should feel a little uncomfortable. Because what that's telling you is that you're uncomfortable because you've been taught something that is contrary to what I just told you. That's why you feel uncomfortable. See, society will tell you that doing what I'm about to tell you is very risky, very scary, and you probably shouldn't do it because it's a recipe for disaster. And I'm here to tell you, society doesn't know what it's talking about. Just turn on the news and listen to what all the politicians are doing today. Yeah, you know where I'm going. All right, so instead of buying one house all cash, we're going to put 20% down on five houses. So we're going to come into each property. They're all going to be worth $150,000. We're going to come into each property with $30,000. And we're going to take out a mortgage for the balance, about $120,000 for each home. So all of a sudden, what you're doing is you're buying $750,000 worth of real estate, not $150,000 worth of real estate, because you're buying five homes. You're going to have $150,000 in equity. That's the same equity total that you would have if you paid all cash for a home. So you're still going to have $150,000 worth of equity in these properties. I mean, it's $30,000 per property, right? But the equity that you have in the assets is the same. It's constant. It's $150,000. It's just divided up amongst five properties. Now, here's the kicker. You're going to have $600,000 in debt. That's right. You're going to go into debt for $600,000. And I know that scares some of you. That totally scares the daylights out of you. Why would I take on $600,000 worth of debt? That's ludicrous. The first thing that comes to mind is the fact that these properties are going to go up in value. Just like the single property that you bought, the five properties will also go up in value. 3.5% in the first year. But here's the difference. You've got five properties giving you a value increase that the lender doesn't participate in. We come back from the break. I got more to share. Stick around.
Del Wamsley on the economy and politics.
What happens if the economy turns around and goes back down now the Democrats are in power, or inflation becomes rampant and all of a sudden it becomes very difficult to do business? I was listening to an economist the other day and he pulled out this chart of GDP. He said, look, here's what I want you to do. He said, tell me anywhere from 1950 to 2021 where the Democrats took power and where the Republicans took power. He said, point it out for me. And the truth of the matter is you can't tell.
If you're sitting on the sidelines waiting to see what the politicians are going to do, or waiting to see what the economy is going to do, if you're trying to predict the future, stop. Politicians and the economy have no bearing on your success or failure. Only you do. Register for the next live online free workshop. We'll unfold the map to retirement in 5 years or less, regardless of what's going on in the world. It's the same proven strategies we've been using for 30 years through every political party and economic cycle you can think of. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Now, let's get back to your map to financial freedom.
Welcome back to the show. All right, so let's get up to speed here. Let me get you guys all caught up with where we're at. So far in the show, we have talked about buying a property for all cash. We've talked about the cash flow that it can produce. We've talked about the depreciation write-offs that you're authorized and should take. We've talked about the tax liabilities, and we've talked about the cash on cash returns, as well as the return on capital gain, which, you know, really isn't much. Then we got into a discussion of, what if we bought five houses instead of one, and we use the money that we were going to use to buy that one house to buy five houses? Now, the big difference is you're going to have some loan costs and some loan origination fees. I mean, that's just part of doing business. But what you get out of that is you get a lender coming in with a big portion of the money. Yeah, there are lenders out there that will finance up to 80% of the purchase of an investment property, especially if you're buying it retail. And that's all we're talking about today, is just if you go out and buy retail property. In other words, you pay full price. You don't do it the way we will teach you how to do it, which is really operating in the wholesale space. all these properties, they're basically the same property as far as I'm concerned. They're all the same house. They're all in the same area. They're all worth the same. They all rent the same. And what you're going to find is that on the first house that you buy, the very first house that you buy, once you collect that rent, you're going to have an additional expense that the person paying all cash doesn't have. And you know what that is. It's called a mortgage expense. It's the principal and the interest associated with that loan. Now, you're always going to have taxes. There's no getting around that. Property taxes are always going to be there. Whether you pay cash, whether you leverage, it doesn't matter. Property taxes will always be in play. So you have to pay those. Insurance? Well, you definitely need insurance if you have a lender in place, because they want to make sure that their interests are protected. After all, they're coming to the table with 80% of the money that you need to acquire this property. Now, the person that pays all cash, no one's going to make them insure the home. And there are some people out there that think, you know, it's smart to gamble with insurance, not make that insurance payment, not even have the insurance policy, because nobody's making them have it, because nothing's going to go wrong with the property, right? Yeah, hopefully nothing does go wrong with the property. But you should have insurance on that property, even if you own it free and clear. The depreciation write-off is the same. It's going to be $386 per month, just like it was for the free and clear property. So what's different? Well, it's the cash flow. The cash flow on this house is a lot less. It's $355, as opposed to the $1,000 cash flow that we had from the all-cash deal. And right there, you're going, see, right there, that's why you pay all cash. That's why you pay all cash, because that mortgage is eating up a big portion of your returns. And I'm not going to argue that point. The mortgage does eat up some of those returns. But here's the part you're not seeing. We're going to buy not one of these houses. We're going to buy five of these houses. So let me tell you how it all shapes up. Now, the first thing I want to tell you about is the annual rent. So you're going to be collecting $6,500 a month in rent, as opposed to $1,300 a month in rent, because now you have five properties as opposed to one. You have five residents enjoying the property that you're putting into service. So now your rental income stream jumps from $15,600 to $78,000 per year. That mortgage cost, yeah, it's there. It's $38,700. The taxes on all five of the properties, $15,000. Actually, I think that's a little light. I think my number's a little light. Nope, it's correct. It's correct. $15,000, because it's $3,000 per property. The insurance, total of $3,000. Yeah, because it's, you know, $600 per property. So now your cash flow, once you subtract all of those numbers from the rent, your cash flow is $21,300. And you're thinking to yourself, wait a minute, you must have gotten the math wrong. No, the math is correct. You see, each house produces $355 per month in cash flow. That means when you take all the cash flow that comes from those five houses, now you're making $1,775 per month in cash flow, as opposed to $1,000 per month owning just one property that you paid free and clear. And it gets better. Now your cash on cash return increases. It is no longer an 8% return. And here's why. The original 8% return came in based on taking the $12,000 annualized cash flow on the free and clear house, the one you paid all cash for, and dividing it by the $155,000 that you acquired the property for. That gives us an 8% return on your investment. But when you leverage this property correctly, you're actually going to get a benefit to putting that mortgage on there, because that mortgage doesn't eat up as much of the cash flow as you think it does. It doesn't. Because when you take $355 per month times five houses, you get $1,775 per month in cash flow. That's $775 more every month to buy properties the way I'm suggesting that you should buy them. Annualized, you're jumping from a $12,000 cash flow on the free and clear house to a $21,300 cash flow on the leveraged five houses. I mean, it's not quite double, but it's close. It's close. Now, let's talk about the depreciation a little bit. Now, remember, on that original property, you're going to write off the depreciation. And I fixed my numbers. So you're going to have $4,636 in annual depreciation on that free and clear property. And that's going to be subtracted from the $12,000 that you're making in cash flow. Now, that means you're going to pay taxes on the residual, the $7,364 at whatever your ordinary tax rate is. But check out what happens when you buy the five houses and you leverage them like I'm suggesting. You're actually going to have more depreciation write-off, because now you're getting depreciation on that one property. You're getting depreciation on five properties. And when you add up all those numbers, you're looking at an annual depreciation amount of $23,182. See, you're taking that $386 worth of depreciation, which kicks in whether you're leveraged or not, and because you've got five different properties, you're now depreciating $1,932 per month. So when you subtract the annualized depreciation of $23,182 from the $21,300 in spendable cash that you're making off of all five properties, your tax liability is zero. You heard me correctly. Your tax liability is zero. As a matter of fact, there's an additional $1,882 left over that you can use to offset other things. Now, that's a game changer. But I'm not done changing your mind. We come back from the break. I'm going to supersize it. Stick around.
Challenge is that you don't believe you can be rich, is that you don't believe you can retire within 5 years. That's half of your challenge. And until you can come up with that belief system, until you can reconcile that in your mind, you won't be willing to take the steps necessary to get there. So you need to get in here and meet some people.
Join us for the next free workshop and meet the people at Lifestyles Unlimited that will share Del Walmsley's belief system and empower you to take the steps you need to be successful. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Warning, listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show will change your life. We will teach you how to create wealth and passive income so you can be financially free. And now, back to your host.
Welcome back to the show. All right, we're going to supersize it. But before we do, there's one other piece of information I need to share with you about the power of leveraging. Remember when I said, when you buy that property, the lender funds you 80% of the money that you need to do the deal? Yeah, you remember that. Well, there's something very, very interesting about the relationship that lender has in the property. See, once they get into the deal, once they loan you the money, once you use that money to purchase that property, they take out a lien position on the property. And you agree to pay them a certain amount every month for principal and interest. That's how loans work. Sometimes you escrow the taxes and insurance, so you just build that into the monthly payment. So you don't even have to worry about those things. I mean, it's kind of convenient. But here's the other thing that most people don't understand. when that property goes up in value, that increase in value, that's all yours. You heard me correctly. That's all yours. The lender does not participate in the fact that that property is going up in value. Now, they like the fact that the property is going up in value because it helps to strengthen their position in the property should they ever, ever have to foreclose on you. But of course, we don't go down that road. So what happens to a $150,000 piece of real estate that goes up 3.5% per year? Well, at the end of year one, it should be worth $155,250. And that should happen uniformly across all $150,000 properties. So if one part of the city is going up in value, chances are all parts of the city are going up in value. So what does that mean? Well, if you're that cash buyer, you made an extra $5,250 in value. But if you leveraged five properties, you made $5,250 in increased value, but you did it five times. Yes, you did it five times. Each of those five houses you bought went up $5,250. That means over a one-year period of time, you increased the equity position you have in those five properties by a combined total of $26,250. Do you see how owning five properties instead of one property in a market where the prices are going up gives you a better return on your investment? That is a much better financial position. Your net worth, instead of going up a little over $5,000, has gone up a little over $26,000. Yeah, this is the power of real estate, and this is what we want you to understand. Let's say you could do 10 houses. Let's say you had $300,000 instead of $150,000. The process is the same way as buying five houses. You work with the right lender, you create an application once, and then you wash, rinse, repeat through the whole process till you have 10 properties. So what does that look like? All right, let's talk about those numbers. You would put $300,000 to work. You would have $300,000 worth of equity in those properties. In other words, you would have $30,000 in equity across 10 properties. You would pay $150,000 for those properties. Now, here's the part that's going to scare some of you. You're going to have $1.2 million in debt. You heard me correctly, $1.2 million in debt. But you will now control $1.5 million in real estate assets. Now, if you hold those for a year and they go up 3.5%, you're going to get an increase across all of those properties in equities of $52,500. Yeah, you're going to make more money over time. Here's the other thing I want you to understand. The cash flow is going to be better because now you have 10 assets producing $355 per month. So annualized, you're going to bring in $42,600, which will be offset by depreciation of $46,364, meaning your tax liability on that $42,600 is nothing. Nothing. It's all legal too. It's all in the IRS tax code. Everything I'm telling you is completely legal to do. You'll have an additional $3,764 in depreciation that you can use for other things or carry forward. It's pretty cool stuff, isn't it? You should be like excited about this. As a matter of fact, your cash on cash return, it's doing even better. And you're wondering why? Well, because you got 10 properties throwing off cash. You're now getting a 28.4%. Yeah. All right. So hopefully what I have told you will convince you that paying all cash for property is not very smart. Now, Dave Ramsey will tell you it's very smart. Dave Ramsey will tell you that if you own investment property, what you should be doing is paying those mortgages off. And that is terrible advice. Because I've just proven to you on today's show that you can take the same amount of money, redeploy it differently, and make more money. You can make more money. Even having a mortgage and a mortgage expense, you're still going to make more money because of how all the percentages work and the fact that you have additional assets providing you additional streams of income. And here's the interesting thing about that, all that depreciation write-off. The problem the cash buyer has is they're making too much money on that particular property. Yeah, they're making too much money on that particular property. And that one property, even though you can take the depreciation cost, that one property, it's not providing enough of a depreciation cost. So now you've got a tax liability on your hands, and you're going to be paying taxes on that money. But if you bought five properties instead, the tax liability goes away. Now, I want you to think about this in a slightly different lens. Let's jump to the supersize. Let's say you did 10 houses. I mean, Mike yesterday told me he had 13 houses before he joined Lifestyles Unlimited, and they were all paid off free and clear. And he thought he was doing really well. As a matter of fact, I ran the numbers, and yeah, he was making a pretty good income. But he's making a way better income now that we've moved him into multifamily, and the fact that he understands the power of leverage, the fact that borrowing money is not a bad thing. It's actually a very good thing that helps you to increase your returns because you're not using all of your cash on a particular asset. And the amount that the lender brings in, it's a fixed amount. Unless you get a variable mortgage, it's a fixed amount. So it really doesn't change. So as rents are able to be pushed up and you're able to control your property taxes, you're going to make more money on these properties. Because remember, the lender made their money when they did the deal with you. That's right. The lender made their money when they did the deal with you. They don't get the benefit of rent increases. They don't get the benefit of appreciation increases. They don't get the benefit of anything that you do to improve the value of that property. And they're okay with it. So you should be okay with it too. Leverage is a good thing. You have to learn how to leverage other people's money. And you have to learn the benefits of leveraging other people's money. We'll make it easy. We will make it easy on you. We will show you how to do everything that I'm describing on today's show. So if I hit you with, you know, the math missile and your brain is going, I can't take it anymore, I understand. I've been there, done that. What you need to do is you need to get yourself educated. You need to be in a place, in a position in life where you know exactly what you're doing when it comes to investing. And we want you to invest in the best asset classes that are out there. Residential income producing real estate. To get started, go to LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Thank you for listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit LifestylesUnlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.